This is Inside MSide, your favorite podcast for all things Morningside. Hear stories from students, alumni, faculty, and more about what makes the Morningside experience so special. Well, hey, welcome back to another edition of Inside MSide. I'm excited to be here with you, excited to be back in the studio. And today is no exception. We actually have two professors that are here with us to talk a little bit about politics. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us at the table.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
Now, what I want to do is, if you're just listening to this and perhaps not watching, I want to just set the stage a little bit. If you could introduce yourself, talk a little bit about your journey to maybe coming to Morningside, what brought you here, how long you've been teaching, what you teach. Some things like that. If you can remember back that far, you know, some of you, no, I'm just kidding.
I'll have to get out the stone tablets.
I was going to say, what were the stone ages like, Dr. McKinley?
You want me to start?
Yeah, please.
So I'm Patrick McKinley. I'm in the political science program as part of the Department of Social Sciences. And this is my 29th year at Morningside.
That's awesome.
And I came to Morningside honestly thinking, oh, I will stop at this small liberal arts college and move on to bigger and better things. And I did move on to bigger and better things. I stayed at Morningside. So I've spent my career here and seen Morningside transform and grow, and I'm very excited about new opportunities as we move into this new period of leadership.
Yeah, you definitely say moving on to bigger and better things, and you're exactly right in that you've pretty much seen Morningside grow substantially, I mean, over the course of the 29 years.
Yeah, and I want to defer here to David in a moment, but one of the things that's been very exciting is seeing how Morningside has been able to be a political venue that continues to show in amazing ways that this is a place where things happen. And the number of people that we've had come to campus and try to get their name out and be a part of the political process. So that's exciting to chat about.
Yeah, that's for sure. David.
Yeah, I'm David Elder. I teach writing and rhetoric for the English program here on campus. This is my 13th year here at Morningside.
Old man.
I know. I'm getting to be one of the old guys, I suppose. But I really wanted to move back to Iowa after grad school. I always wanted to teach. I was one of those kids who was a five-year-old saying, I want to be a professor when I grow up. And I always wanted to teach. Yes, I'm a nerd, Patrick. I always wanted to teach at a small liberal arts school, and the job at Morningside came up, and it was just too good of an opportunity to pass up, and I can't imagine myself leaving.
Talk about living the dream since age five.
Yep.
David Elder,
one of those little, now my dad is an economics professor. And so I always said I wanted to teach econ.
Okay,
and so the apple fell a little far from the tree in that case, but
yeah. And if you're new to the pod, I should introduce myself. I'm Alex Waters, the Alumni Engagement Director. I'm happy to be your host for a number of these different podcasts and welcome different guests talking about all things Morningside, whether it's alumni, professors, students, perspectives, experiences, all of the above, things that are happening on campus here. And so we're excited just to be able to share these things with our friends and alumni all over the globe. And so as we alluded to in the beginning of this pod, we're going to talk a little bit about politics. And so welcoming the two of these individuals is a perfect opportunity to just happen to talk about what happens here on campus and the excitement, the energy, if you will, that really is, I mean, because Morningside is, you're right, Dr. McKinley, talking about, we are the focal point here when it comes to some of the national politics, especially when they not only visit Iowa as the place for the caucuses and things like that, but also just being on this side of the state, whenever they're coming over here, it seems that they're gravitating towards Sioux City or maybe Council Bluffs, but then when they're in Sioux City, it surely seems that they're stopping on campus. As a former political science major, I mean, this gets me excited. I was really enthused by all of that when I was a student. Talk to us a little bit, Dr. McKinley, first maybe about some of the experiences that students have had on campus, some of the speakers we've had. You alluded to that.
Well, I think one of the things that's so exciting, and granted, there's some discussion about what's going to be the future of the First in the Nation caucus for both political parties, but at least for the entirety of my career, because of the First in the Nation caucus, folks who've been exploring presidential runs or actually pursuing presidential runs have realized that if they want to reach the western part of the state, the largest media market in the western part of the state is here in Siouxland. So what we've all been a part of for these past couple of decades is making Morningside the space, the site they want to be at to present their case to the American people, to Iowans, to Siouxlanders. And so we've been doing that. I remember a whole variety of events starting back my first presidential race back in 96. We had folks here, I remember in 2000, you know, Gore, Bush. The first time I met President Reinders was at an event, his very first month here. And we were hosting George W. Bush, Governor George W. Bush, out in front of Eppley. And that's the first time I met President Reinders.
I think he came to my middle school that year.
But going all the way back, literally we've been a must-go place for presidential, but also state contenders. We've hosted debates.
Yeah.
At both the senatorial level, at the gubernatorial level, at the congressional level, and perhaps even more importantly, in some important respects, at the state and local level, where we've hosted not only candidates but office holders as well, and worked with them in a variety of settings. So, which has presented just a plethora of opportunities for our students to be front row seats. I want to turn this over to David and get his take on this, but I was at an international conference this past weekend, and I was able to say with a straight face to one of my colleagues that at least up until now, one could say that you couldn't be president of the United States unless you came to Morningside.
Which is pretty, such an awesome thing, you know what I mean? To even think about or just conceptualize that we are on a campus where if students have any interest in politics, or even if you don't, and obviously you have an interest in what's happening in the world around you, to have the exposure, to have these conversations with individuals. I mean, I could list a dozen political presidential candidates that have been on this campus that I've got to have a one-on-one conversation, or at least ask a question of, or hear their views, and it's just really exciting.
And like you were saying, it's such a great educational opportunity for our students, not just to get the experience with the politics. I teach public speaking. And so one of the things, whenever we have candidates on campus, I always tell my students, okay, you have to go and yes, analyze their words, try and figure out what they're saying, but look at their public speaking style too. I mean, what better way to give students exposure to just very different styles, you know, from Obama to Trump even.
Yeah.
That's just a huge shift in the tone,
exactly,
if nothing else. And allows them to see that firsthand and catch some of the things that you don't see on a video. Because, you know, on off years, I do have them watch videos of sure, candidates and things like that. But it's not the same as just being in the room with them.
Absolutely.
Oh, and seeing those mannerisms, seeing how they engage with an audience, different things like that. Now, Dr. Elder, one of the things that I love is you teach a CIC course that's really centered around politics. And I want you to talk a little bit about that class. But what intrigues me most is that sometimes we do have students that are coming here because they're excited about whether it's Iowa's first in the nation, or they just want to be more civically engaged, or different reasons. But I mean, you're getting them pretty engaged and excited about it early on in their collegiate career.
Yeah. So if you're listening or watching and don't know what CIC is, it's our first year argumentative research based public speaking and writing course.
There's a lot to cover,
but they're all themed. And one of the classes I teach, the theme is propaganda in U.S. history. And so I try to get students to really interrogate the messages that are being thrown at them day in and day out. You know, so Edward Bernays is thought of as the father of modern propaganda. And he defined propaganda as the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized opinions and habits of the masses. And, you know, just getting students to think about that, that there are these people out there trying to manipulate your opinions, and getting them started off thinking critically about those messages that they're seeing, that the candidates who come on campus are bombarding them with.
Or the ads,
the social media feeds, just everything, just the organized, I don't know if intelligent is always part of it, but right. Manipulation of their habits and their opinions. It's really important to get them to interrogate those.
Their emotions
when they're living on their own for the first time. Right. They're not maybe just voting the way that mom and dad vote anymore. Yeah. And they're trying to figure out what it is they believe, to get them to really dig into those messages and think about why they're being pushed the way they are. And then at the end of the class, what I have them do is they form their own presidential campaign. They get to choose any presidential candidate in history and make two campaign commercials for that candidate. One that they consider more ethical persuasion, and then one that's the most baseless propaganda they can come up with. And they have so much fun doing it, but also reflecting on the differences between those things.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like so much fun.
Oh, it is.
And I remember taking even some of the classes here, you know, when I was studying political science, and really diving into some of those different ads and just the evolution of them. We like to think that some of these more outrageous ads, or ads that are pushing the envelope, started recently. You know, maybe they were in the 2016, or they were in the, you know, whatever, these recent elections. But gosh, you look back. Patrick, I'm looking at you because I forget if it was in your class or maybe Dr. Gelcher's class, but, you know, wasn't it called the Daisy ad?
The girl.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it was the countdown. Daisy. I mean, you're talking about
1964.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly. You're talking nuclear war, like potential. Like these are the threats that people are making of the risk of what they're saying with their political opponents. Yeah. And so it's just now it's nuance, or maybe in different markets or different ways of getting you that information. But really, it's cool to hear about the things that students are doing, formulating their own opinions to try to really navigate that.
And it's such a huge thing, and David's class is such an excellent example of this, of getting students from the start of their Morningside career to think about acquiring the skills of critical thinking and reflection.
Yeah.
You know, they're bringing their own ethical traditions from their families and communities beforehand. This gives them an opportunity to build on those values and think about them, but look at information coming at them and put it through a bit more of a critical lens, to ask some hard questions about the information being presented to them now that they're outside of the home. And that's going to equip them not only as citizens, but also as you know, future entrepreneurs, future educators.
Lifelong learners,
exactly,
if you
will. that they're now responsible for taking in this information and doing something with it, and themselves leading in a variety of ways. So, I think what David's doing there is excellent. And it ties in so well. We start in political science with an intro to U.S. government, and let's just say it's a little bit different from what they might have seen in their high school classroom. You know, we talk about a lot of the formal things one wants to know about in terms of our political institutions and whatnot. But, you know, literally this week we're talking about helping students understand what are the foundations of American political culture. What are those things that we all seem to think we all believe? And what are those other things that maybe are points where we start to divide and have different opinions and whatnot? So there's introducing students to some new skills to process through that and act upon it is, I mean, one of the things we do in that U.S. government class is we have the students do service learning projects where they go out into the community their first semester, get to know Sioux City, get to know this community, participate in it, and find ways that they can be active citizens here in Siouxland. Whether it's on working as part of a campaign, you know, doing some door knocking or something like that, or if it's choosing a community organization that they want to know more about and want to contribute their time. And that helps us get back to kind of our mission focus on civic responsibility.
Which is kind of great too, because whether it's a political candidate or even an advocacy group, I know that that's when I was a student, and I know we've continued that tradition to really lean into the experiential learning, lean into service learning, and talking about the importance of getting out into the community and giving back, or, you know, giving of your time, you know, to learn more about not only yourself and what you want to do, but then also lending a hand to maybe a candidate you believe in, or like we were saying, an advocacy group. It's exceptional.
Yeah, we're getting ready next week is Into the Streets.
Yeah.
And you know, we're going to send 700, 800, maybe 900 Morningsiders into the community for a morning to work in a whole variety of different settings and trying to make a real contribution. But really the true winners in that are going to be our students who start to say, wow, there's all these amazing things happening in this community. And it's that experiential dimension that helps them say, these are things that I want to become a part of. I'll never forget a student who I think started on it during an Into the Streets activity many years ago, went to STARS. That works with folks.
Adaptive horse riding,
exactly.
People with disabilities.
She changed her major, and that was what changed the direction of her career path.
Wow.
After doing that in a 100 level class. So, and part of the Into the Streets activities. So,
well, and if you're listening and you're not familiar, Into the Streets, does anyone know how many years ago it started?
I think we're at 18 now.
Something like that, yeah.
Is it that much? Gosh, that's been a long time. It's Into the Streets is this annual event that takes place on campus. There's actually a no class day, so we don't hold classes that day. In the morning, we all get together. We gather in Epley Auditorium. All, like Patrick said, 700, 800, 900 students, depending on the year. We have a little bit of breakfast. We gather. They disperse shirts. So we're all wearing matching shirts.
And it's students, faculty, and staff. I mean,
correct.
All of us get involved.
And it's student-led.
Yes.
Students,
yes,
created this event as part of the Omicron Delta Kappa Leadership,
yes,
Society that's
great
on
point.
Campus.
Great point.
And so it's something that it built from the ground up, and eventually the administration of the college believed in it so much that they decided to cancel class and have it be a recurring thing.
Yep.
Yeah. To be able to host that annually and then have those students partner with, you know, the organizing committee partners with dozens of nonprofit organizations, school, et cetera, to be able to get students out into the streets. It's just another avenue of where we're exposing students to opportunities beyond themselves or maybe beyond what they've learned before. I mean, similar to what we do with politics, right? They're forming their opinions.
You know, we even see it more just on campus too. I had students from the Colonel Bud Day Center come into both of my CIC classes this semester and offer up all the freshmen the opportunity to register to vote in Woodbury County.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're coming into class, they're giving students the opportunity to register to vote, and there were quite a few students in my classes who registered for the first time.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I know that Morningside Civic Union has done different things like that.
Morningside Civic Union is a student-run organization, and then it pairs oftentimes with the Bud Day Center for civic engagement to do a whole variety of activities to mount opportunities for our students to get more civic engaged in a whole variety of ways. The Bud Day Center, of course, does the annual Morningside Poll, where the students design and do the analysis of a scientifically valid public opinion research poll.
Yeah.
And so, they're involved in a whole variety of different activities that, again, the students play a crucial role in its construction and its analysis. So, and MCU's been doing a variety of things. One, you know, we're thinking about experiential and thinking about, as we get towards Election Day, you know, the other day that we take, that's a no-class day, is Election Day every spring, every fall. And for, I want to say, we're on 24 years, maybe even 26 years, we've partnered, the MCU students, political science, have partnered with KMSC to do election night coverage.
Yes.
Where Morningside students.
I participated in that back in the day.
Yep. Where Morningside students do election night coverage. We scour the internet, we scour what's happening on the reports from the news channels, and our students are out in the community. They're down at the courthouse. They're out at some polling stations, talking to voters, finding out about the mood of the electorate. And our students bring their own analysis to what's happening in the elections. to their peers. And, you know, that's where our students are involved. And yeah, that's
they cut through the propaganda. They don't create their own.
Exactly. Exactly. No doubt.
That's powerful stuff. Now, Dr. Elder, when you were talking about the class, first year students learning about and formulating some of their opinions, navigating through some of that propaganda. I mean, honestly, like as an individual that really follows politics, I think it's become more and more contentious. Are you seeing some of that in your class? Are you seeing, yeah, just a wee bit. Are you seeing some of that in your class? Or talk to me about, and talk to the audience just a little bit about some of the dialogue that's maybe happening and some of the conversations that you're witnessing.
Yeah, it's interesting because students at that age, their first semester in college, are often pretty reluctant to communicate their truly held political beliefs and often hide behind a statement of, I'm just not that into politics.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we try to do, especially when getting them to think about, why should I vote in Woodbury County? I'm registered in back home. You know, just the idea that they're going to live here for 4 years. For 4 years, Iowa is going to be the state that determines a lot of things about their life. So, you know, they do often tell me, well, you know, propaganda is interesting, but I'm just not that into politics. I'm like, oh, you're not that into driving or breathing air or, you know.
The laws that impact student loans and some of those.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, over the course of the semester, I feel like they get a little bit more interest in when they realize all the different ways that the politics in the state they're living in affects their lives. And, you know, they start to get a little bit more talkative when you start saying, well, should student loans be forgiven? And then they get really talkative, especially just depending on where they're coming from and the idea that, well, if student loans are forgiven today, does that mean mine will be or won't be? And how does that affect my life? And they start to really internalize some of these ideas and then critically think about how all these messages are being thrown at them from every avenue of life.
Yeah. Well, and just how important it is that you think, oh, I'm not really engaged in politics. Oh, I don't really pay attention to that. But just how politics or politicians and law, legislation, different things that are being passed does impact them on a daily basis. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And just creating those venues. I mean, one of the other reasons that I'm sure we're all unsurprised at this, that because of the vitriol of so much of our politics in the media in because of the propaganda, if you will, finding spaces where they can start to sort through their ideas and be in a community of learners who don't necessarily agree with each other. That's not the point, but are in a community of engagement and inquiry where they're willing to test out some ideas. Get into some good debates, but do it in an atmosphere of civility.
Yes.
And I think that they welcome that opportunity to you know, they can put a few ideas up the flagpole and sort it out and have some good, you know, the best day for me is when I know that there's been a good dinnertime conversation with their roommates or with their teammates after a class thinking, hey, McKinley talked about this or Elder talked about that and we got into a really good debate. Wonderful.
Exactly.
Because they're doing it with people that they care about, even if they don't always agree. And that's part of that experiential process too.
Yeah. Well, and just formulating your own thoughts and ideas through really pushing each other, you know, pushing your peers to think critically, like we've all talked about. I mean, I remember professors even, you know, pushing and playing devil's advocate and talking about some of those and saying, well, what do you think about this? Or what if this was the case? And I think that's really a great exercise in formulating some of those opinions.
Yeah. Just yesterday, we were having a conversation in class about where they see propaganda most and, you know, inevitably, the discussion of military recruitment came up, and they were all spouting off opinions. And then the student in class who had actually joined the National Guard decided to pipe up. And so students are getting these viewpoints from people who have wholly different experiences from them. and getting to understand things in ways they've never even thought about before.
Thinking outside of their maybe isolated bubble or their silo of maybe where they grew up or what their family dynamic was, because it can be so different. The last thing that I wanted to touch on is maybe near and dear to me, because as the alumni engagement director, I'm in interacting with a lot of these individuals. But Dr. McKinley, talk just a little bit about, I mean, obviously you can have an interest in politics. Maybe you came to Morningside and you were very interested. You were excited about being first in the nation, seeing some of these individuals, or you formulated or grew that excitement around politics based on your experience here. But I mean, people are really, our graduates are getting great jobs in the field of politics or in this kind of atmosphere or in this space, if you will. Talk to me a little bit about what you've seen our alumni go on to do and some of the maybe exciting things that they're doing.
Well, when I think back present company included, the number of folks who maybe started to participate in politics, even local politics, going to that first caucus and finding out, oh, I'm not just going to the caucus, I got elected as a delegate, or I got elected as a chair or a secretary or something like that. And then becoming involved with the local campaigns. But a number of folks have launched from these opportunities to become active in local party organizations, building relationships, doing internships, sometimes doing them locally, sometimes going to Des Moines or maybe their own state capital, or even going on to DC and doing internships and opportunities there. So building those up, lots of opportunities to build those while they're still on campus. But then afterwards, it's extraordinary to see the number of folks who've been able to go off. You know, a lot of our students, a significant share, pursue law school and pursue that route. We've got sitting judges in our community who went through that. That too is an important part of this process. But folks who've then gone on and not only done their professional careers, but then been able to give back. I'm thinking of Jeff Wright as Iowa's public defender. I mean, he oversees an office of over 1,000 public defenders across the state of Iowa. And other folks who've worked for members of Congress, worked in the Pentagon, worked
intelligence, research, think tanks. I mean, all these different
things. And we're seeing folks getting recruited for opportunities in various kinds of political analysis and even market analysis, because they've developed those skills so that they can go take those into a whole variety of settings. So it's pretty exciting to think about the number of folks. And then a lot of folks end up running for office because they just can't help themselves. They want to give back.
Most definitely. Well, and I mean, for those of you that don't know that are listening, they're giving me a hard time because I actually serve on the city council here in Sioux City. I chose to run for office myself because of some of the things that I learned at Morningside and just really the desire to give back to your community, which I think is something ingrained in you here on campus. And I would even mention too, I mean, we've had people run, we have people serving in the State House that are alums. We have people serving on the Board of Supervisor who are alums, all here locally in Iowa. And then even to the highest levels in Iowa, we have Admiral Mike Franken is actually an alum as well. And he's running for Senate right now against Chuck Grassley. So it really is inspiring to see the path.
And what's great is, and Chuck Grassley has Morningsiders on his staff.
Yeah, so, exactly. So that have worked for him in Washington, that have worked for him here locally, all different kinds of things.
We even have alums getting involved in international politics, like David Riveros Garcia, who runs an anti-corruption youth network in Paraguay. So it can be very local, but it.
Well, and we've got a group of recent alumni who are currently in graduate studies and doing internships with the German government right now. Wow. So, you know, participating. So, I mean, yeah, they take it and do it wherever they want to give back wherever they are. So lots of evidence of that.
Well, I tell you what, I'm really excited and I appreciate The two of you joining us for this episode of Inside M Side. I think it's been insightful just learning about not only the politics and the discussions that we're having here on campus, whether it's in classes or those student organizations, but also just, if I would underline, I mean, the opportunity that students have here to really interface with some of these candidates that are being elected to the highest offices. I think it's really a great opportunity. And so if you're an alum or a friend of Morningside, or even a prospective student or someone wanting to learn more and hear these discussions happening, make sure you're coming back to campus, watching for our updates as far as who's going to be here. Because honestly, you never know who's going to be showing up and offering a discussion here. So thank you so much for tuning in for another episode. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me. I truly appreciate it very much. So make sure to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss another episode. Thank you.